about my legacy. I want the world to mourn when I die. By the way, going off script, I've literally started weirdly making the craziest of ambitions to have my birthday be a national holiday. So I'm on some crazy off-the-rocker shit on this, but it's my truth. It has been the foundation. It is, let me help you, the reason why you're listening to this book. I want the world to mourn me when I die, not just for being a decent human being, but for building something tremendous and predicting where the future of business lay. And then I want to fucking own the afterlife. That makes me even laugh. Being good and generous and giving a crap is the only thing that will get me either of these goals. 3 out of 10 people don't like me when they first catch me online or hear me talk because they think I'm full of shit. By the way, I probably lost 3 of you while you just heard that last part. And they feel that my habit for giving so much away for free, whether it's time, advice, or mentorship, is just a gateway to making money. They don't believe anyone really cares that much. I do, though, which is why the majority of my haters eventually change their minds if I'm given a fair shot. There are a scary number of people who say they're starting their business because they want to make the world a better place, yet reveal themselves as frauds and hypocrites in answering one of 2 direct questions about their model. There are also a scary number of people who are so cynical that they can't believe anyone does anything without expecting something in return. I acknowledge duality of human nature, including my own. I want to buy the New York Jets. But let's be honest, I'm addicted to the process of trying to buy the New York Jets. Which means I do what I do so I can make a lot of money. At the same time, I love how it feels to make a positive impact on people's lives. Which means I do what I do so I can help other entrepreneurs be successful. Embracing these 2 truths and combining them into my daily actions is why I win. It's also why I leave an ungodly amount of money on the table each year. For example, many influencers, including some you'll meet here in this book, sell online courses. Courses can provide a hefty revenue stream, and done right, they can be incredible resources. I choose not to because I'm concerned that once I put monetary value on what I know, I'll feel obligated to reserve my best stuff for the people willing to pay. I would create a conflict of interest that would go against everything I want my brand to be about. I do publish books, but other than the occasional personal anecdote, there's no information in them that I have not discussed in a public free forum somewhere else. For anyone with time and an inclination to do the online digging, the information is there for the taking, albeit sometimes in a less expansive, less detailed format. These books exist to save people time and to provide a portable resource people can easily refer to. In every decision I make, I consider the balance I'm willing to strike between selfishness and selflessness, with my selfish side often getting the short shrift in the short term. I'm fine with waiting a few more years than I might otherwise have to buy the Jets, if it means I get to live with a clear conscience and the knowledge that I haven't sacrificed my legacy. You may make a different decision. The truth is, you don't have to be as altruistic as I am to win big, in a world where the standard is pretty much nothing. You have to just be altruistic enough. But believe me, if your every interaction and transaction is predicated on what you think you're going to get out of it, nothing in this book will work for you. Consider yourself warned. At the other end of the spectrum, it's interesting how often the product actually seems besides the point to many successful entrepreneurs interviewed for this book. Their passion isn't entirely tied up into the protein powder, the training technique, or the beauty products. For them, to borrow the words of graphic designer and branding instructor Jenna Sword, Instagram handle You Can Brand, founder of You Can Brand, their truest love is watching the ahas go off in people's minds. It's in seeing how their product and service makes others feel, in helping customers solve problems, achieve more, or feel better about themselves. In short, the source of their success lies in how much they care. Still, the best marketing strategy ever.
How I'm Crushing It. Lewis Howes, School of Greatness. Instagram, @LewisHowes. Lewis Howes knows the sound of a broken dream. For him, it was the snap of his wrist as he slammed against a wall during his second game as a professional arena football player. An All-American football player and decathlete, Lewis at first refused to accept that the injury meant he'd never play professional sports again. For 6 months, as he recuperated from extensive surgery and a full arm cast on his sister's couch in Ohio, he held out hope that he'd recover enough to resume his athletic career. But after another year of trying and failing to rebuild the strength he'd once had in his arm, he had to accept that it was over. For a lot of people, it would have felt like the end. He'd already survived childhood sexual abuse and been bullied in school, where he had struggled to keep up due to dyslexia. Sports had been his refuge and his salvation, and he dropped out of college to try out for the NFL. Now, despite all his efforts, he was left with nothing. No degree, no skills, and no money. And it was 2008, when even people with ample amounts of all three couldn't find a job. What Lewis did have, thanks to his athletic training, was a belief in himself. He started pondering the question, what could I create if I could create anything in the world? He already knew what it felt like to get paid to do something he loved, so there was no question of taking any old corporate job he could get. But he needed to do something, because after so many months of living on her couch rent-free, his sister was getting impatient. A mentor suggested he get on LinkedIn. Lewis realized that the platform gave him direct access to lots of successful people, people who might be able to lead him to opportunities or at least explain to him how they had gotten to where they were. All I ever wanted to do was be around inspiring people that I could learn from. He spent the next year, 8 hours or so a day, connecting with local business leaders, inviting them to lunch and conducting informational interviews to learn more about how they'd achieve their success. Thinking he might be a natural fit for a job in the sports world, he'd at first reached out to a number of sports executives. As one person connected him to another person, who then suggested he meet with another, his circle grew wider. As he learned more about LinkedIn's possibilities, he optimized his profile, which then led to bigger and bigger influencers agreeing to meet with him. By the end of 2009, he had 35,000 connections. At the time, tweet-ups, in-person gatherings of Twitter users around a common cause, were a popular networking venue. I went to a couple and I thought, I'm building this following on LinkedIn. Why don't I do a LinkedIn meetup? So we did one in St. Louis, where he had once gone to private boarding school. 350 people attended, and thanks to selling a few sponsorship tables, he earned about $1,000. So I was like, why don't I see if I can do another event and charge $5 at the door? He did, and he made money off the entry fee as well as the sponsorships. And then I was like, I'm building a relationship with these venues. What if I ask for a 10% commission on the food and bar sales from these networking events? They said yes. In short order, Lewis was bringing in a couple $1,000s a month, enough to finally get off his sister's couch and move into his own apartment, the cheapest one he could find, a little one-bedroom for $495 per month in Columbus, Ohio. People were astounded. How is he pulling this off? He didn't have a real job, he didn't have a college degree, and yet he was bringing big influencers together all over the country and being asked to speak at conferences, all through LinkedIn. They started asking if he could show them how to use the platform for their businesses too, and Lewis thought, Lewis started teaching other entrepreneurs and business people how to optimize their profile and reach out to potential clients, investors, or whomever they needed. I think because I came with energy and passion, I attracted opportunities. I attracted people to come to these events. I became passionate about teaching because no one else was talking about LinkedIn the way I was. I made it fun when LinkedIn is very boring for a lot of people. Not long afterward, he found out that an entrepreneur named Gary Vaynerchuk would be having a signing for his new book, Crush It, in St. Louis. Lewis reached out and offered to help promote the event on LinkedIn. Given that he was helping promote the book, it made sense to read it. It was a long time ago, and he remembers very few of the details today, except for one chapter. Care. I never felt like I was smart. I never felt like I had the intelligence or the skills or the experience or the credentials. I didn't have any of that. So when I read that word, I thought, yes,
I needed to continue to deepen my level of care. When I would meet with these influencers, I would never ask for advice. I would just say, I'm so curious to hear your story about how you became successful. And at the end of that, I would say, what's the biggest challenge you have in your business or your career or your life right now? And listen. And they would tell me everything they needed. I said, you need a sales guy? I've got three of the top ones right here. You need a programmer? I've got this person. You need a designer? I met one last week. He was great. I just became this connector to all the most successful people. I never asked for a job. I never asked for business. That one word chapter confirmed that when we show up and we add value and we care, then we can learn how to make money around it later. But show up with value first. That is how I built the last decade of my life. Lewis was already teaching himself to be entrepreneurial and making a little money, but now, inspired, he really put on the gas. Crush It said you had to be niche, so he decided he wasn't going to be the social media guy like everyone else in 2008 and 2009. He was going to be the LinkedIn guy. Crush It said work 15 to 16 hour days, so that's what he did. I was working my ass off. He built up his expertise until every social media conference was booking him as the LinkedIn speaker. He also got creative. I started approaching venues, which were mostly restaurants and bars, and built a relationship with either the manager or the owner. I tried thinking about how I could make my event valuable for them. How could I care for their biggest need, their biggest challenges? So I started asking, what is the night you make the least amount of money? And they would answer, Tuesday night or Wednesday night or whatever it was. And I'd say, okay, I'm going to bring you 500 people on that night because I want to make every night a profitable night for you, not just the weekends. And I'm going to bring new business leaders, a new audience of quality people to your business. Lewis did, and what was once these venues' worst night became their biggest night. From then on, they were willing to let Lewis host events anytime he asked. He did, but he also started taking bigger risks. I just started to go for it and ask for what I wanted, even if I thought it wasn't going to work. I started asking for 20% commission off food and bar as opposed to 10%. I charged $20 at the door instead of $5, and I started charging more for sponsorships. Because Lewis was bringing so much value to the venues, the sponsors, and the event attendees, all were more than happy to pay a higher price for Lewis's services. In 1 year, he hosted 20 events around the country. He branched out into other service products, and in 2 years, the company was bringing in over $2.5 million in sales. But despite the success, after a few years, Lewis was ready to do something new. I became less passionate. There's only so much I can talk about how to add the right photograph and optimize your LinkedIn profile. He sold his business and got started on his next project, School of Greatness, a podcast that shares inspiring stories, messages, and practical advice from some of the biggest athletes, celebrities, and business minds in the world. Since its inception in 2013, School of Greatness has been downloaded tens of millions of times and makes a regular appearance in the iTunes podcast Top 50. In 2015, Lewis published his New York Times bestseller, The School of Greatness. He continues to coach, attend speaking events, and contribute articles to major media outlets. And while Lewis still loves and uses LinkedIn, he has also focused his efforts on other platforms that drive the most traffic, downloads, and sales and help him continue to build his audience. At this point, the only thing holding him back is that he's just one man, so he has hired a stellar team to help him run all aspects of the business, from podcast editing to Facebook ads to customer support. I feel like the luckiest guy in the world. I had to learn the skills I needed and become competent enough to match my confidence, but the thing that surprises me the most is learning that it's not about how much you know. It's about how much you care. We can create anything we want if we have the passion, the energy, the hustle, and commitment to our vision. If I had been a jerk all along the way and I didn't care about people, there's no chance I would have been able to do this. If you show up with that energy and intensity every single day, good things are going to happen.
Authenticity. Your intent will be reflected in your authenticity. You will be 1,000 times more successful if you wake up eager to share and create something because you believe the world will enjoy it, rather than because you have calculated that this is what you need to do to become an Instagram celebrity. Authenticity is a welcome relief to consumers who live in a society where they constantly feel that they're being taken advantage of or hearing only parts of the whole story. Don't try to fake it. Eventually, you'll be shown for who you are. Instead, figure out how to use the modern platforms, Instagram, Snapchat, YouTube, and all the others we'll cover in this book, to give away that good stuff you've got. Whether it's your incredible fashion sense, your hilarious brand of comedy, your innovative team-building strategies, or your stunning flower arrangement ideas. Figure out the best platforms to showcase your true self, your craft, your joy, and your love for what you do. The more authentic you are, the more people will be willing to forgive the inevitable mistakes and stumbles. I mentioned earlier that a good chunk of my audience is converts, people who thought I was just a blowhard until they realized that my message was consistent and that I kept being proven right. Even if people don't like me, few ever doubt that I am for real. There are three things working to my advantage in this regard. Number one, I genuinely don't give a shit about what people think, which allows me complete freedom to do and say what I want. Number two, I care immensely what everyone thinks and will spend an insane amount of time responding to skeptics who take the time to tweet or comment their criticism to help them see where I am coming from. And number three, which might be more important than numbers one or two, I always respect my audience. I believe in people's intuition, and I believe that most are very good at sniffing out hypocrisy and opportunism. Exploiting your customers because you think they're dumb, for example, selling them an expensive online course that's mostly fluff and nonsense, is, well, dumb. You may count on people's ignorance to make a lot of money in the short term, but you will be in a mess of manure the minute your customers find out you're taking advantage of them. That goes for corporations as well as personal brands. All it takes is a single viral video of a customer getting forcibly dragged off a plane to expose a company's crooked policies. When you disrespect your customer, you're one social media post away from having your whole business tumble down around you. I have no interest in taking that kind of risk, and neither should you.
How I'm Crushing It. Lauren Everts, The Skinny Confidential. Instagram, @ The Skinny Confidential. Lauren is the willowy, sassy bombshell behind and in front of the lifestyle site, The Skinny Confidential. When asked to describe her passion, she says it's about building community and bringing women together. But she also chafes a bit at the question. I can't stand when people are like, passion, passion, passion. It's so much more than passion. Execute. I see a lot of people in my generation talking about ideas and saying what they're going to do. I hate talking about what I'm going to do. I don't think I talked about The Skinny Confidential once for the whole year I was building it until it was here, because I like to show. That's probably why her father, also an entrepreneur, thought to give her a copy of Crush It for Christmas the year it came out. At the time, Lauren was still a TV broadcasting and theater major at San Diego State. She was bartending, teaching pure bar and Pilates, attending class, and getting bored out of her mind. A creative, independent spirit, she felt that college was a waste of time, yet with no alternative in mind, she felt she had no choice but to do what was expected and get a degree. Along the way, however, she had noticed something that piqued her interest. With Crush It fresh in her head, an idea started to form. There were not a lot of platforms online that were inspiring women to be unapologetically themselves. There are a lot of men like Gary and Tony Robbins and Tim Ferriss, all these strong, amazing men, and I didn't see a woman in that space. I wanted to create one, and it wouldn't just be about me, 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 and the outfit I was wearing, but a place where I could bring models and moms and everyday women together to connect and share their secrets. I wanted to provide value, which is something I definitely learned in Crush It. Lauren used her iPhone notes and a binder to collect a tremendous list of ideas for content. Then, Although she was dead broke, she hired a web developer, paying him in 10 $50 installments. For a year, she refined her craft and built her credibility, continuing to teach and earning her license online as a fitness and nutrition specialist. Another thing that Crush It said that resonated for me was always put your money back into your business. So I was like, work, work, work for tips, and then put it right back into the Skinny Confidential. And then work, work, work for tips, and then right back to the Skinny Confidential. I had $0 in my bank account for the longest time. When she finally did launch, she kept her content narrowly tailored to health-related topics. Find that niche that you're so good at and ride it, and ride it and ride it until you can slowly expand out. In retrospect, she might have been able to start diversifying her brand within 3 months, but her brutal schedule would have made that difficult. I would shoot all of my photos from 2 to 3:30, bartend from 4 to midnight, come home, write my blog post from midnight to 2, wake up, teach Pure Barre, teach Pilates, go to school, rinse and repeat, 5 days a week. And then on the weekend, I would do Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and the emails and all the other little stuff that comes with it. Slowly, methodically, she started expanding the scope of her brand into other categories. Wellness, beauty, home decor, and clothes. But she didn't make a penny for 2.5 years. The biggest mistake I see influencers make is they'll work with every brand on the planet. It's all about how many brands can they work with, not about the audience, not about the readership. I see no longevity there. I'm more focused on building my own brand than other people's brands. She finally monetized after being approached by a brand that she wore all the time anyway. And today she earns definitely a very good amount, which translates to enough to provide a comfortable life, as well as employ a graphic designer, an assistant, a project manager, an editor, a photographer, and a back-end developer to help her with the day-to-day operations of the business. But she continues to turn down brands every single day, even offers of $10,000 to $15,000 to collaborate for a single blog post. Nothing was off limits on The Skinny Confidential. Storytelling is so underrated. Lauren wrote about essential oils and diet tips, but also boob jobs and Botox. She began introducing new characters from her life, mining her relationships for deeper content and fresh stories to share with her readers. Her beloved grandmother, known as the Nans, became a fixture on the site, giving Lauren a way to offer an unexpected perspective on her chosen themes. She unveiled her boyfriend, Michael, when they became engaged. The blog now has a whole Michael-dedicated space called Him, and the couple produces a podcast together. Naturally, readers were privy to all the details of Lauren's engagement and wedding, but they've also been invited to share the darker moments. Lauren's sad, tender ode to the Nans following the matriarch's unexpected death invited a flood of empathetic replies. When jaw surgery left her face grossly swollen for 2 years, Lauren, who admits that until then, I led with my looks, showed the pictures and talked about how the disfigurement affected her self-esteem. Readers raced to support her when she shared the story of how she had listened, stunned and hurt, as two brand executives unknowingly still connected to her by conference line, sneered at and ridiculed her following what she thought had been a promising phone call. The moment also gave her a chance to explore the hypocrisy of brands who claimed to empower and champion women, but only so long as those women fit a certain mold. I took all my hurt and I put it into this blog post, and I could not believe the response. Women from all over the world were writing in with stories about how they had heard someone talking about them, or been bullied, or put themselves out there and been bashed for it. It was really cool to be able to bring everyone together and lift each other up. Everyone says, put yourself out there, be your authentic self, but when your authentic self is not what they like, they talk back. It was a very weird experience, but instead of silencing me, I'm just going to continue to put myself out there even more. And I hope that I responded in a way that can make me a good role model if my readers, especially younger girls, ever find themselves in a situation like that. If I can change someone's mind about being catty, if I can use the platform to call that out and say there's nothing cool about being mean, whether it's cyberbullying or bullying or talking shit about someone, then that's a good goal. While it's unfortunate that she didn't document that first year when she was gathering her ideas and strategizing the trajectory of her business, in her case, the process does seem to have sharpened her ideas so that she wasted less time and was able to act more purposefully once she did launch. She is an admirable model of speed and patience. This is something that I've been working on for 6 years, every single day, 7 days a week. There's been no day off. If I'm on vacation, I'm working. And I still have so much work to do. I just did what Gary said in Crush It, which is constantly hitting it day after day, never giving up, keeping my blinders on, focusing on my own shit, and really, really doing me. Doing me to the best of my ability. Crush It, and his other books too, allowed me to just be who I am and not be sorry about it.
Passion. I know many people working in jobs that make them heaps of money who aren't happy. But I don't know anyone who works around their passion every day who isn't loving life. As I said earlier, I could take some shortcuts to make more money and thus shorten the time it takes me for me to meet my goal of buying the New York Jets. But I don't, because those things wouldn't make me happy. I'd rather wait and get there on my own terms. We're on this earth for only a short time, and the bulk of our adult days are spent at work. It's worth taking the steps necessary to make sure those hours are rewarding, productive, and enjoyable as possible. Every one of the people interviewed for this book agreed that there's no point in trying to become an entrepreneur without passion. Your business can't just be a job. It has to be a calling. Andy Frazella, founder of nutrition and fitness brands, Supplement Superstores, and First Form, explained it best. You're going to go through a time where you're not going to make any money. It's not going to be a week. It's not going to be a month. It's not going to be 1 year. It's going to be years. And during that time, if you don't love what you do, it's going to be very hard to stick it out. That is something people don't understand when they hear follow your passion. They hear rainbows, unicorns, bullshit. But the truth of it is, it's important. Because if you don't enjoy what you're doing, you're going to be that much more likely to quit when shit's hard. When you're passionate about what you're offering the world, whether it's a sales training method or vintage toys, the quality of both your product and your content will more likely be what it needs to be to get noticed, valued, and talked about. Interestingly, many of the people we interviewed pointed out that you don't even have to be passionate about the product or service you're offering. What's imperative is that you're passionate about giving. That's what Sean Doris McBride, discovered. Before developing his massively successful personal brand on Snapchat, he sold jewelry online. The guy was a skater, a snowboarder. He had little interest in jewelry per se. But after reading Crush It in college, he decided to sell jewelry to test the book's principles and confirm what his instincts told him were true, that engaging with customers and involving them in the development of his brand would pay dividends no matter what he sold. As you'll hear later in this book, he was right. Finally, most entrepreneurs will tell you that passion is protective, supporting you when you threaten to become overwhelmed by the stress and frustration that is a natural byproduct of entrepreneurialism. Passion is your backup generator when all your other energy sources start to sputter. And passion keeps you happy when you love what you do. It makes every choice easier. When you decide to keep working the 9-to-5 you hate because you need the health benefits until your business takes off, when you agree to work for less money than you want because the experience will pay off later, when you eat shit, passion makes it all go down easier.
How I'm crushing it. Brian Wampler, Wampler Pedals. Twitter, @ Wampler Pedals. Brian Wampler's parents, both commissioned sales reps, were more entrepreneurial than the average mom and dad, but they raised Brian to follow the money and do the job that paid, regardless of whether you are passionate about it or not. So after Brian graduated high school, by the skin of his teeth, he went to work in construction. A few years later, at the age of 22, he went out on his own as a remodeling subcontractor.
It wasn't his passion, but it was better than working for someone else, better being a relative term. He hated what he was doing. His real passion was guitar, in particular, trying to make the guitar sound the way it did in popular songs. That sound is created through guitar pedals, small electronic boxes guitarists manipulate to create various sound effects and tones. When a friend introduced Brian to an online forum for people interested in customizing existing guitar pedals, Brian dove in. For the next few years, I would work all day, getting home about 5 p.m., eat dinner, and spend some time with the family, then spend the rest of the evening learning all about electronics through reading and experimentation. I did this every night, not stopping until 3 or 4 a.m., sometimes staying up all night and then going into work and doing it all over again. In many of these forums, many of the questions are asked by laypersons who have no experience in electronics. Most of the people answering were either engineers or talked way over the head of the person asking the questions. When this person asked for the answer to be simplified, they were scoffed at. Basically, there were artist types of people asking a question and heady engineering types refusing to dumb down the answer. I was once one of those artist types of people in the very beginning. So once I figured everything out on my own, I simply made sure to explain things in a very easy to understand and digest manner so others could learn more easily. Which, incidentally, is exactly what Gary did for Wine. He also started selling his own modified guitar pedals online. That led to questions from customers, which added to the number of hours Brian spent replying to comments and answering emails and even phone calls. He finally published a series of ebooks to consolidate all the information he was disseminating. Then he started selling DIY kits with parts and instructions for modifying particular pedals. When customers and retailers started asking him to build and sell them custom pedals, he created his own line, which is how Wampler Pedals was born. He quit the construction industry and made his living selling all these products. Demand kept rising. Brian realized that he wasn't going to be able to keep this pace up and invest the same amount of time in all of his products. Something was going to have to take priority. It was while trying to decide which direction to pursue in early 2010 that he came across Crush It. The lessons he took away radically changed the way he ran his business and helped it grow. 1. Embrace your DNA. I probably owe my marriage to this idea. Before reading the book, my wife and I were trying to do everything at once. Design new products, build them, market them, find new retailers domestically and internationally, keep up with customer service, ship everything in a timely manner, manage employees, etc. This created a lot of friction because I really sucked at everything except designing new products, creating content, and talking to new and potential customers. After reading the book, she and I decided to outsource everything to outside contractors or hire people that brought in the qualities that I did not have. His epiphany also helped him figure out which side of the business he should concentrate on. I realized that I wasn't an engineer. The books I was writing were fairly complex electrical engineering ideas that I was simplifying to bring them to an audience that wanted them. But my heart wasn't in it as much as it was with creating something new, something that inspires other artists to use it as a tool to make their art and create something with my name on it, something that my great-grandkids will be able to look back on one day and say, that was my great-grandpa. So I stopped selling all of the DIY products and focused on just that. 2. Storytell. At the time, many of the other companies were faceless. I simply started being myself in an authentic way and became the first president of a musical instrument company who did his own product demos. This was very odd at the time to many other companies. However, our customers loved it. They realized that I was an actual guitar player who happened to make pedals rather than an engineer who happened to dabble in a little bit of guitar. This difference, though it may seem minor, was huge for us and a key to our success. 3. Go deep, not wide. Analytics don't tell the whole story. In a nutshell, I decided to stop chasing numbers and focus more on creating content that brought more value to our customers.
1,000 views and 100 comments are much better than 10,000 views and one comment. 4. Everyone needs to become a brand. I insisted that everyone who worked for me become a face of the company alongside me. They had to understand that everything they posted online reflected the brand. Equally important to me, by understanding the fact that everyone is basically a brand, they would have an advantage over others should they decide to pursue something else outside of my company. 5. You got to be you. I jumped in with both feet, convinced that if I followed my passion with extreme vigor, something, somewhere would happen. I just had to be patient and work harder than anyone else in my niche.
Patience. It's interesting that passion and patience go hand in hand. To live in line with your passion will probably require that you go slower than you might want to. It will definitely mean that you say no more than you say yes. Bide your time. You cheapen yourself when you make deals while holding your nose. Remember, you're only crushing it if you're living entirely on your own terms. It's not impossible to make bank when you build a business with the sole goal of getting rich. But very often, entrepreneurs who get rich quickly sacrifice their chances for wealth for the long term. When I was just starting to grow my family business, my friends who graduated college at the same time that I did went to work. They started making money and spending it on trips to Vegas and hot girls and nice watches. Me, I was making money too. In the first 5 or 6 years, I grew my family business to $45 million in sales. And not many years later, it was a $60 million wine empire. When a normal 26-year-old dude builds a $60 million business, he leverages it for the 20-year-old dude things. Yet, I lived in a one-bedroom apartment in Springfield, New Jersey. I drove a nice Jeep Grand Cherokee Laredo. I had no watches, no suits, no flash. I could have paid myself hundreds of thousands of dollars a year, but at most I was taking home $60,000. I kept my head down like an ox with a plow, putting almost every dime I earned back into the business and focusing all my energy on building a personal brand around unparalleled customer service, both in the store and online. When not talking to a customer, I was the most boring human being on the planet. Today, I not only have everything I wanted, except New York Jets, like all the other entrepreneurs in this book, but also I'm having the time of my life. Some achieved success in a relatively short time. Most worked their asses off for years before anyone knew who they were. You have no reason to start acting like something special until you actually have something special to show for it. Even then, don't act special. The moments you do, you'll start moving in the opposite direction. Take my advice. Eat shit for as long as you have to. That means be a bigger man or woman than everyone around you. That means the customer is always right. That means you put your employees ahead of you. That means you don't take many vacations, maybe for years, and your only time off is for important holidays and to be there for your family and friends who are like family. Be patient. Be methodical. Pay off your debt. Unless your brand is glamorous, live simply, and even then, be practical and calculated. Put yourself last. Once you reach your brand and business goals, then you can start, quote-unquote, living it up without putting yourself into debt, because that is insane.
How I'm crushing it. Alex Nemo Haunts, Foolies Limited Clothing Company. Instagram, @Foolies. The day after Alex Nemo Haunts turned 30, he was in New Orleans to try to meet a few women. Not just any women, specifically some of the stars listed on his t-shirt, like Taraji P. Henson and Ava DuVernay, who were in town to attend the Essence Festival, a 4-day mega celebration of black culture in general and black women in particular. It's the t-shirt that put his clothing brand, Foolies Limited Clothing Company, on the map. But what's really interesting about his presence at the gathering is how he got there. His fans and customers gave him birthday money to pay for it.
They literally sent him the money to buy himself a plane ticket so he could attend and connect with people who could help him grow his brand. That's some pretty spectacular customer love and loyalty. Alex must have been doing something right. Alex has always had a strong entrepreneurial spirit. His mother died when he was in the fifth grade, and since he didn't have a father figure, he was taken in by a family friend who had 12 kids of her own. He was grateful to have a roof, but at school he got tired of getting picked on for his raggedy clothes and shoes, so he'd carry around a big duffel bag stuffed with chips, candy bars, and Capri Suns that he could sell to earn a little money. He also worked after school at a car wash where he got paid under the table because he was underage. I was just trying to survive. In 2005, when he was a student at the University of Florida, Alex was a rapper. Dropping bars and spitting hot lines of fire, at least in my mind I was. While Googling how to create a brand for a rapper, he found an article that said a rapper needed to create an identity for his fans. So he and his brother of another color, Billy, a big supporter of his music, worked to come up with some kind of catchphrase. And we're sitting around saying, man, this idea sounds so foolish. This is so foolish of us. We kept repeating it and playing around, and we started saying, yeah, we're foolies. And it was like, what's a foolie? And I said, I guess somebody who's dumb enough to try something and figure it out in the end. After graduating in 2009 with a degree in sports medicine, Alex couldn't find a job, so he kept concentrating on his music while working at an AT&T store. Then he and Billy decided that rappers needed a clothing line. They had no money, so they ironed the word foolies on a dirty white t-shirt. They did what Alex calls the Damon John effect. Put it on one person, take a picture, you take it off. Put it on another person, take a picture, take it off. Because you don't have money, so you can't give shirts to everyone. But if you can post pictures on Facebook and Twitter and make it seem like everyone has a shirt, maybe other people will want it too. And that's what started happening for us, slowly. The shirts were created to bring attention to Alex's music, but they soon became his main output. He came up with clever ways to deliver an extra special experience to his customers. When he had a special sale, he'd send customers who bought a shirt a custom link to a YouTube video of himself singing a song with their name in it, or some other personal message. He shipped the shirts inside miniature paint cans, the idea being that when you open the can, you'd be releasing your dreams. And he'd send a handwritten letter to every customer along with a dream journal, because that's the biggest thing that people don't do. They don't write their goals down so they can never manifest and come to life. As soon as customers received their order, they'd post a picture to social media. Except, interestingly, sometimes they didn't post the shirt. They posted the letter, the can, or the dream journal. They'd thank Alex, saying it had been years since anyone had written them a letter, and some attached the letters to their refrigerators or bathroom walls. The company eked out in existence, barely, while Alex kept working a day job, tutored, mentored at boys and girls clubs, and couch surfed. It was hard going, but he kept at it. Reading Crush It in 2015 was a confirmation that I wasn't crazy. I'd go to pitch competitions and these fake investors would chew me out. How is that scalable? Why are you writing letters to every customer? I started reading the book and thought, man, somebody finally gets me. It was like finding a long-lost friend or meeting your twin after being separated and you didn't even know you had one. He realized his problem was that he wasn't creating enough content. I went all-out motivational, plastering Facebook with posts. In September 2015, he watched on television as Viola Davis won her first Emmy. That same night, Regina King won her first Emmy, too. I was bawling. My brand has never deliberately focused on black women, but they've always supported me. So I was like, man, we need to make something motivational based off this dopeness that these black girls are doing. That's when we listed all the phrases, like a regular graphic. The graphic was a list of ways in which people could emulate the black female powerhouses of our era. Write like Shonda. Speak like Viola. Walk like Kerry Washington. Be fierce like Taraji. Be strong like Regina. Lead like Ava.
I posted the graphic right before work at about 8:30 in the morning, and around maybe 10:15, my phone started buzzing. So I go to my Facebook page, and I see 40-plus shares. I had gotten shares before, but this was a weird number, and it kept increasing. What was going on? The reason Alex's phone was buzzing incessantly was because best-selling author, speaker, and digital strategist Lovey Ajayi, a.k.a. Awesomely Lovey, had posted the graphic to her page. She messaged him and told him he needed to put those names on a shirt. She didn't even know I had a t-shirt company. She just thought I was a random guy, which is crazy how God works and how everything just lines up. Then Ava DuVernay reposted the graphic on Twitter. It started freaking going everywhere. Alex quickly added a few more names to the graphic. Lupita, Uzo, Angela, and Queen, and turned it into a t-shirt with the Foolies logo on the back. That detail, the logo placement, is important to what happened next. A few months later, on a Wednesday, Alex got an email from Essence asking for shirts for a youth choir to use at an event called Black Women in Hollywood. They needed them by Sunday in time to tape the show later in the week. It was a Hail Mary mission. It usually took weeks to get t-shirts printed, and on top of that, he had just switched printing companies because the previous one kept blowing him off. The new company managed to give him a quick turnaround time, and he shipped the shirts in time for the event. There was no footage when the event itself happened, but soon afterward he got an Instagram alert. It was a picture of the girls wearing his t-shirt, and standing there with her arms around them was Oprah Winfrey. He had no idea the event was sponsored by the Oprah Winfrey Network, OWN. He and his COO, Kim, started plastering the shirt everywhere they could. When the show aired on OWN, at first there was no sign of the choir. Alex was sure the segment had been cut. Then, right after a commercial break, there they were. The t-shirts looked fantastic, but Alex realized that maybe putting the logo on the back instead of the front hadn't been such a good idea. We had wanted the shirt to be about the graphic, not about us, and we wanted to make sure that our customers knew that we always had their backs. Real smart. Genius. That night, Shonda Rhimes tweeted out a picture of the shirt, tagged a Foolies, and posted it to Instagram, too. "I've never gotten so many notifications in my life," says Alex. Since then, any money Alex has earned has gone back into the business or into free shirts for influencers. There are a few new versions of the shirt listing different actors. He tries to attend as many conferences as he can where he will meet other influencers volunteering to work there because he usually can't afford the ticket price. He recently received a comp ticket to the Blogger conference from someone who had heard him speak about Foolies at another event several months earlier and wanted to make sure he could go. He's committed to motivating people to reach their goals with more than just a t-shirt. "I don't want to just sell you t-shirts. What happens if you don't buy one? Is it now over for you to be motivated? Why not serve just to serve?" To that end, he launched a podcast called Dream Without Limits Radio, where he collects stories of dreamers, game changers, and people living out their purpose. So the podcast numbers are interesting. I think more people are following me as a whole than necessarily listening to the podcast. The episodes will fluctuate, so we'll probably see 200 or 300, or we'll see 50, 45. I'm okay with those numbers only because the responses that I get and the people, they're the 50 or 200 who really want it. It doesn't sound as cool because I don't have tens of thousands of listeners, but I know those 50 or 200 are the ones who are actually taking it and doing something with it. And that's what I'd rather have. Because they're going to be the ones who give me 2, 3, 4,000 later. I get to bring on people of color and women who don't get highlighted enough. You'll see all these dope women on there. I love guys, but I know where my market is and my niche. People tell me, "Oh, you need to expand and talk to all these people." And I'm like, Gary gets it. Alex mentored a lot of students at the University of Florida and continues to visit middle and high schools to talk to them about entrepreneurship and getting out of the hood. When his brand started to take off, a number of his former mentees told him that it made perfect sense that this would be his calling. This has always been what you've been doing. Now it's just in the form of a clothing company.
Speed. I love a good contradiction, but this isn't one. Patience is for the long term. Speed is for the short term. The pressure that builds between the two produces the diamond. Speed is one of my two or three obsessions in business. I will always gravitate towards the thing that allows me to live my life more efficiently and do my work faster. It's one of the reasons I'm so excited about voice-controlled assistants like Google Home and Amazon Echo. And we'll get to that later. Entrepreneurs, heck, humans, care about time and convenience. And it's just faster to spit the toothpaste out of your mouth in your bathroom and say, "Okay, Google, remind me to buy more toothpaste," than it is to grab your phone and type in toothpaste into your shopping list. By the way, going off script, put an Alexa or a Google Home in your bathroom, your main bathroom. You will be blown away how efficient that is when trying to figure out what your calendar is for today, remind you to do something later. We're all thinking about a lot in that early stage. I am predicting that the Alexa in the bathroom is going to be one of the big moves going forward. If you're just starting out, you're going to be slogging it alone for a long time before you can hire an assistant to help you manage your time. In the meantime, put whatever tools you can find to good use to keep you moving through the day and using your time wisely and efficiently. You need to constantly be in do mode. I see you out there overthinking your content and agonizing over your decisions, taking forever to make up your mind, your confidence is low, and you're worried that people will call you a loser if you make the wrong call. Get over that quick. I love losing because I love to learn from it. The reason I don't talk about my failures much is not because I'm hiding anything, but because once I've seen I've made a mistake, in my mind, it's over. I'll admit it, I was wrong in 2010. Location-based chat app Yobongo was not the next great startup. But what good does it do for me to dwell on what didn't work out? I'd rather look ahead to the next thing that I'm sure will. My track record speaks for itself. Being unafraid of making mistakes makes everything easier for me. Not worrying about what people think frees you to do things, and doing things allows you to win or learn from your loss, which means you win either way. Hear me now. You are better off being wrong 10 times and being right 3 than you are if you only try 3 times and are always getting it right. Let me explain. Those 7 wrong things are going to help you not only in making those 3 things better, but will also allow you to keep playing. The learnings, my friends, the learnings from your missteps are just so imperative. So I implore you to just do. Sure, people can clown on you and razz you, but once you get insular in your own mind, you can do so much more. And I'm telling you, I'm making mistakes daily, weekly, monthly, and yearly, and it's making me unstoppable.
How I'm crushing it. Timothy Roman, Imperial Kitchen and Bath. Instagram, @ImperialKB. Timothy Roman got by with a little help from his friends. Once he got rid of the old ones, that is. Timothy is the son of Russian immigrants who brought him to the United States 19 years ago when he was 11. His parents got busy doing what immigrants do, working, trying to get by, and adjusting to a new country, a new language, and a new way of life. They expected Timothy to do his part by doing well in school and getting into college. Problem was, Timothy hated school. "I failed everything miserably. I couldn't concentrate. Always, my head was floating around. I was always doodling some stuff, whether it was plans or ideas or dreams or counting my profits. I don't recall any formal education." The profits Timothy is referring to were from his dual revenue stream. See, he was putting his natural entrepreneurial tendencies to use. By the time he started high school, he was DJing and selling mixes. He was also selling weed. In 10th grade, when he realized he was making the same amount of money as his teachers,
he told his mother he was dropping out and getting his GED. She thought he was dropping out to be a DJ, and that was indeed the original plan. The drug dealing was just supposed to be supplemental income. Pretty soon, though, things reversed, and for about 10 years, that was Timothy's life. I was in a poor neighborhood. Nobody has the knowledge or anything to influence you enough to say, hey, you know, you can maybe try to do something legally and try to become an entrepreneur and start a small business and work really hard and try doing that. You know, that wasn't even a conversation. Until he finally wound up in jail, which is how his mother found out how her son was really making his living. When he got out a month later, he was determined to change. He started by eliminating all his old friends and making new ones. One was doing web development and SEO, search engine optimization. Another was selling high-end real estate. Another one was selling high-end furniture. But all created these situations themselves and were like-minded. We really clicked immediately. They respected me, and I couldn't wait to learn the way it's supposed to be done. The friend who sold real estate let Timothy crash on his couch. He also introduced Timothy to his father, who owned a construction company, who then offered Timothy a position. At the same time, Timothy, who thought he might like to be a web designer, was spending a lot of time trying to educate himself via YouTube. That's how he somehow came across a Gary Vee video. I find out that he's Russian and that his parents are immigrants, and immediately there's this crazy connection and I really get sucked in. I got hooked. He plowed through all the video material he could find, and when he realized the only other way to get more information was through Crush It, he read that too, even though reading was so difficult for him that he'd read only one book, Tony Hsieh's Delivering Happiness, in his life until that point. I'd never had a sounding board, no one to say, hey, you know, you can do this, go out there, get it done. The message from Crush It was, no matter where you are, who you are, color of your skin, where you're from, size, shape, and all that good stuff, if you really feel like you're good at something, if you put in the work, I guarantee you, you will get somewhere. You know, it's hard to get your mind around it when you have no experience with that, but I kind of just took it and ran with it. That was the end of 2012. Within 6 to 8 months of working with his friend's father, Timothy was sure that he wanted to start his own company, a kitchen and bath specialty contractor. In 2.5 years, he went from pushing paper to closing projects, becoming the owner's right-hand man. That was just during the day. After work, until 2 or 3 a.m., Timothy studied. I would learn everything I possibly could about the construction industry, read magazines, learn architects' names. I wanted to have so much information on day one of my business that if I had a conversation with a client, I could deliver so much value. I was trying to learn so much about the product that people would not look at my age and lack of experience as a weak point, but overlook that when I told them everything that I know. I was computer savvy and had some basic skills, so I would work on the website. I would try to write content. Contractors didn't have proper marketing materials. Forget about SEO. The ones who had websites were really big companies with 10 trucks. Your regular kitchen and bath guys were all in their 40s, 50s, and 60s and have been in business for 20 or 30 years. They've established so many relationships that some are doing business literally through word of mouth. I knew that it would take me years to establish word of mouth the traditional way. I was doing things that other contractors didn't even understand, and it was very time-consuming. We didn't have all the apps that we have today that can automate it for you. Through his work, he developed relationships with subcontractors, and with his boss's blessing, he spent all his time outside of his day job planting the seeds for his own company through Facebook and YouTube. Little by little, people started to engage with his content. If someone liked a picture, Timothy sent a thank you message. If someone emailed for an estimate and he was able to get an address, that person got a thank you note and small gifts around the holidays. He landed his first projects by the middle of 2015. Fortunately, he didn't have to be at work until 9:30 a.m., which gave him several hours to focus on his own projects before his day had even officially started. This meant that by lunchtime,
He could just run out to check on his subcontractor's work, leaving his evenings free for emails and sales work. Once he had three projects lined up, he informed his boss he was ready to quit. His schedule didn't ease up, though. He just filled those hours with more work, more engagement, and more content creation. He uses Snapchat stories and Instagram stories to share behind-the-scenes peeks at projects. And now that he has a showroom, he can easily